It is a blessing for Freedom Aid to be with y'all here this morning. I think I'm just going to speak from right down here this morning. It seems kind of far back there, and our group is a bit small. But it's good to see all of you here today. You know, things happen, life happens, and changes a week ago. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of people that are not here this morning that plan to be here this morning a week ago. So we never know. Things happen. Life happens. The hurricane number of weeks ago and number of death and all that, that's a part of life. But God. And, you know, as I was reflecting, I think God orchestrates this, may I say. He allows these things to happen to help us stay focused, really. Or it helps me to stay focused. This morning, our text for a message here this morning is in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's what I'd like to look at and draw some very practical application from this particular account. It is a very familiar account, and in fact, it's an account that's found in all four of the Gospels. I do enjoy taking account stories and pulling practical application from it. So that's what we want to do this morning in the next several minutes here together. John chapter 6. I want to read the first 14 verses, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is come into the world." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that your spirit may direct and lead us here this morning and minister to each of our hearts in a very special way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, "With Jesus, Little is Much." And we see that in the account here this morning. In fact, there's 3 things that I would like for us to look at as we look at this particular account. First of all, when facing problems, remember his power, the power of Jesus. Secondly, little is much when it is given to Jesus. And then thirdly, with God, there is an abundance of blessings. So, you know, the setting we find here, people were following Jesus, our text tells us here, for the reason because they saw Jesus was doing the miracles, he was healing people. So that was drawing the crowds as such. And, that was intriguing. They saw that happening. And the setting specifically here, we have Jesus and his disciples up on a mountain, and Jesus sees the multitude coming. And when he sees the multitude, he directs a question to Philip specifically. He said, "Where can we buy food to feed all these people?" Well, that's immediately in Philip's mind, this was a problem. And in fact, you know, our text here says Jesus mentioned, you know, where shall we buy bread? I mean, that's a natural thought. If you're going to feed these people, well, where are we going to get it? We're going to go to the grocery store and get it, I guess. Buy it. And Philip responds in the natural. From a natural perspective is where he finds, where he comes from. It's like he didn't say this, but I kind of sense it in his tone. We've got a problem here. You know what? 200 denarios would barely be enough so that everyone could have just a little bit. Now, how much is 200 denarios? Back then, I understand the wages for a day wage was like one denario. So you're looking at 200 days worth of labor, really, to buy enough food that everybody can have just a little bit. If I was thinking about this, how would I respond? How would you respond? How would you try to feed 5,000 people? Wow, that looks like a big order, doesn't it? 5,000 people, that's a bunch of people. I mean, you think about it. 5,000 people, well, $4 a person? I mean, that adds up pretty quick, doesn't it? We're looking at $20,000 right there. Wow. Well, may I say, Jesus saw this problem first. Or may I ask, was it a problem or was it a need or was it an opportunity? How do we look at overwhelming situations? I mean, really, realistically, this was an overwhelming situation. I mean, for Philip, you know, from a natural perspective, I mean, this is over the top. This is huge. We can't do this. This is bigger than us. You know what? Maybe that's how God wants us to see some of this stuff. It's bigger than me. That way we look to him, you know? So how do we see issues? From what perspective? What is our vision like when life happens and situations happen that are overwhelming, that are a challenge, that are difficult? How do we respond? Is it an opportunity for God to work, or is it a problem for me to figure out? You know, I was thinking about that. I wonder how many times that God allows these circumstances in my life, and I try to figure it out instead of coming to God and say, "God, this is bigger than me. I need you." You know, Philip could have responded and said, "Well, Jesus, I don't know what you've got in mind, but I believe that you can, I mean..." Think about it. Philip saw the miracles that Jesus did. He had been healing the sick. By the way, Philip goes way back to the first miracle that Jesus did in turning the water to wine. And he saw the miracles happening. And I'm not sure exactly where this was, how long a time span this has been that Philip had been with Jesus. But it's been a little while. They had some They had some history there. You know, Philip's response could have been, well, you know what, Jesus? I believe that you're able to feed these people without a trip to the grocery store. But you know, how often do we think of that in that way? I sometimes don't. And we try to figure it out. And I wonder, I was thinking about this, I wonder how often do I miss a blessing because I try to figure out my problems instead of turning it over to God and allowing Him the opportunity to do a miracle, to work in some miraculous way. Well, certainly Philip was focused on the problem rather than the power of Jesus at this particular time, his initial response there. And you know, this little problem didn't take Jesus by surprise. In fact, verse 6 tells us that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He had posed this question, this problem to Philip to see what his response was, to test him. And I'm wondering how often does God allow these circumstances in our lives, those challenges, those big issues, those big problems, to test us, to see how we will respond and where will we go for help? What will we do with it? Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Luke 1 and verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We know that God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all-wise, he's got the answers to, may I say, every circumstance, every challenge, every situation that we face in life. And may I say that, yes, God wants us to look to him for our help. And so, when you're faced with that challenge, that problem, remember God's power. Remember his power. Yes. And right along with that, in verses 8 and 9, we see that little is much when it is given to Jesus. You know, in the meantime, Andrew finds this lad that's got this lunch, five barley loaves and two fish. And that was his sack lunch that he had brought. And so I don't know what Andrew was thinking. You know, did he think about the past when the water was turned to wine and the need there at the wedding? Or, you know, what was he thinking? Was he thinking, well, if we find enough people that have got lunches, at least we won't have to buy as much? Or was he thinking about the fact that, yeah, Jesus, he can do a miracle here? We don't know the details there. But anyways, we have Jesus, the lad, and Andrew bringing the lad to Jesus, and that was a good combination, you know. And we see Andrew's response when he brought the lad. He says, you know, here's a boy with, you know, a sack lunch, but what is this among so many? Well, you think about it, yeah, it doesn't amount to anything, does it? Really. When you think about feeding 5,000 people, by the way, I mentioned the fact that this account is in all four of the Gospels, and in Matthew's account, it mentions 5,000 men plus women and children. So we don't know the number, but yeah, it was considerable. I'm going to say it was considerable more than 5,000 people. And we here in verses 8 and 9, we see that little is much when it is given to Jesus. And the lad, you know, I wonder what his perspective was. Apparently, he was willing to let Jesus have it. You know, I wonder what the conversation was. I wonder what went through his mind. It's like, well, maybe I should, you know what, I'm getting kind of hungry. Maybe I'll split it with you or something. We don't read that. We don't have that. He was willing to give it to Jesus, not just a half of it, not just a quarter of it, but he gave it to Jesus. And you know, as we think about that, you know, God is looking for people that are willing to give themselves to him. Give it all. Turn it over to him. Turn ourselves, may I say ourselves, over to him. That is really what he's looking at. You know, sometimes it's easy to maybe give an offering. Well, we'll put 10 bucks in the plate and whatever, that takes care of it. But you know what? It may be that God is calling you for such a time as this to give of your time. Maybe calling you for that. Or it may be that God wants you to use your gifts, your abilities in some way. Or it may be that God wants you to use your finances. Yes, put that money in the offering. However it is, God is looking for people that are willing to surrender themselves to him and allow him to use them for his honor and for his glory. You know, God is looking, not necessarily for people that are equipped and able, but God is looking for people that are available for him to use in his kingdom work. Now, notice what happened here. As Jesus took those five barley loaves and those two fish, and he blessed them and he gave them to the disciples to pass out to the people. What was the end result? Isn't that amazing? Everyone had plenty to eat. It was more than just a little bit. They got what they were needing, really. And not only that, but look at what was left over. It looks to me like they had more left over than what they had to start with. They had 12 baskets full of leftovers. And that's pretty amazing. And, you know, we see the people's response to that. You know, here in verse 15, I did not read verse 15, but verse 15 says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." You know, for the people, this is like, okay, wow, we got somebody here that's able to feed us when we're hungry. He's able to heal us when we're sick. And I mean, this works for me. I mean, this is a good deal. We're going to make him king. That's what we need. Well, that wasn't Jesus' purpose. But we see the impact that it did make on the people there. As I was thinking about this, you know, numerous times in Scripture, we see where God uses small things, maybe small, insignificant things, in a very dramatic, outstanding way. You know, you think about David and his slingshot and the five stones. Use that to conquer Goliath. Moses' rod, referred to as the rod of God. The plagues in Egypt, he used that for the plagues, for the crossing of the Red Sea, for the striking the rock and water came out to give water to the people. Gideon and his lamp with 300 people, God used them to bring deliverance to Israel. And So it's amazing. God, it seems like God enjoys to use these small, insignificant things to bring much honor and glory to him. And I guess with that, it makes the miracle even greater, doesn't it? And you know, God wants to use us in the same way. You know, we may think or say, you know, well, I don't have much to offer. Well, you know what? When we give it to God, God will multiply it and God will use it far beyond our human expectations or comprehension or whatever. And but God wants us to give him what we have. And the question this morning is, am I willing to give him my 5 loaves and 2 fish? Or whatever. Am I willing to give it to him? You know, God is the one that calls. God is the one that enables. God is the one that empowers us for his service. And God gives the gifts to us to use for the furtherance of his kingdom, for the expansion of his kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." A literal translation of that simply says this, the New Living Translation, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Where do spiritual gifts come from? They come from God. God is the giver of spiritual gifts, and he gives each one of us a gift to use, not for our glory, not for our praise, but for the furtherance of his kingdom. And what does that look like? As we interact with others, as we relate with others, we're there to encourage them, to bless them, and to, yes, sometimes give direction, give guidance. And God uses people to accomplish his work. And isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? God uses ordinary people, just like you and me, to accomplish his work. That's God's plan. There's a quote that I ran across, not sure where it came from, but it says this: "Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it and everyone benefits." I like that. I think that's good. I think that's very true. It's not scripture, but I believe that is, may I say, a literal translation of the verse there in 1 Corinthians 12. "Manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And so we are God's instruments to be used in his kingdom for the advancement of his kingdom. Yes, not for our glory or our praise, but for the advancement of his kingdom. And several verses in 1 Corinthians 1 that I want to read, and talks about the fact that God's way of thinking is not necessarily man's way of thinking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised by which And the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So my friends, this morning, the bottom line is this, you know, God has chosen to use what the world would consider foolish things as such. But it puts to shame the wise. That's the wisdom of God. Weak things to put to shame the mighty. And it's not about mankind, you and me, accomplishing great things, but it's about allowing the power of God to do his work and using us as his instruments. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, the last phrase there, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's all we got to brag about. The power of God, the glory of the Lord. It's not about you and me and our accomplishments, but it's about God doing his work. And yes, using you and me as his instruments, his vessels in his kingdom work. Zechariah 4, the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's God, by his power, by his might. And may I say this morning that, you know, God, by his Spirit, enables you and me to be his instruments, his vessels in his service. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, God puts those divine appointments in front of us. God gives us those opportunities from time to time to speak into the lives of others, the people that we come in contact with. And it was mentioned this morning, the contacts there at the thrift store. I mean, what great opportunity that is as you intermingle with the community and with staff, you know, to simply allow the love of Christ to flow through us. We become his instruments, his vessels. You know, whether it's at the thrift store or on the construction job site or in the grocery store or in school or you name it, wherever it is, wherever life takes us, really, wherever we find ourselves, to be sensitive and to be open to the Spirit of God leading us to speak those words of encouragement. Yes, sometimes people need prayer. We stop, we pray for them. Or we see a need. Somebody needs a helping hand. Well, I've got a schedule. I need to, okay. I've had to learn this the hard way. You see a need, stop and help that person in need. And there's been times that I have not done that. And God has spoken to me and said, you know, really, Marv, you need to stop. Your schedule's in my hands. Our lives are in God's hands. And so, yes, kind of in conclusion, that brings us to the third point, you know, with God, there are abundance of blessings. And we see what happened there in the miracle that we read here this morning from our text. You know, people were filled. They didn't just get a little bit. That was from the human side of going to the grocery store and spending all that money to get a little bit of get all that bunch of groceries and everybody get just a little bit. In Jesus' economy, God's economy, everybody was filled. Isn't that amazing? There was plenty. The spiritual blessings that come. And, you know, when we reach out to people from our human effort, from a human perspective as such, in our human effort, well, it may help a little bit. But when we allow God to direct us, to lead us in those divine appointments, and we are his instruments, his vessels, simply a channel for him to flow through us, then great things happen. Great things happen when we allow him to use us and we move at those divine appointments that he gives us. Lives are changed. Needs are met far beyond our expectation or our comprehension. You know, it's really not about us, but it's about God. You know, the boy that gave the lunch, he didn't get the praise for it, did he? It was Jesus. And so it is with us in our lives. We don't get the praise or the honor for the good we do or the words of encouragement. Oh, yes, people respond to us and say, well, thank you for that. That was encouraging. I appreciate it. And we receive that thanksgiving. And we say, yes, we receive it. And we pray. We pass the praise on to God. Yes, it's God that enables, that empowers, that directs, that leads us in that. And so the result of the miracle here is, yes, people saw the power of God. May we allow God to use us that people see the power of God working in our lives. You know, even the fact of how we respond when those challenging times come. People watch us, whether we realize it or not. People are watching our attitude, our actions. How do we respond when things don't go the way we want it to go? When we fall on hard times, how do we respond? We respond in frustration and in anger, and it's like, wow. Or do we respond in a godly manner? People are watching, and that speaks volumes. Our attitude of how we respond in situations like that speaks of the power of God within us. And people say, well, how can you still be so calm after what happened? Well, my friend, it's because of the power of God, the peace of God on the inside. And another thing that happened here in this miracle, they knew that Jesus was the prophet. In verse 14 mentions that, or the Messiah. And then, yes, as a result of that, they wanted to make him king in verse 15. And so many good things happened. God was honored. God was glorified. And my friends, this morning, as we live our lives, our day-to-day lives, may we look for those opportunities, those divine appointments that God has for us to demonstrate his love, his power, and his goodness to people around us. Yes, that is really what God calls us to as his believers. When God uses us, he is the one that gets the glory, not we. So remember, when facing problems, remember his power. Remember that little is much when it is given to God. You may say, well, I don't have much to offer. I, you know what? Little is much when we give it to Jesus. Yes, God is faithful. The blessing will flow. Yes, the rewards, we don't necessarily do it for the rewards, but the rewards are there. The blessings, just the blessings of yes, allowing God being surrendered to him and allowing him to use us. Yes, you will be greatly blessed as a result of that. So may God give you much grace and wisdom in your journey in life as we seek to honor him and give him our lunch as such to use for his glory and for his praise. Okay, shall we, have a prayer, have a song? A prayer, all right. The song after prayer, all right. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together here this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you have a purpose, you have a plan for each one of us. And Lord, we want to use what you have given us for your glory and for your praise. So Lord, may you simply perfect the message of your word in each of our hearts as we go from here. May your blessings be upon us. May you keep us in your care. We honor you and we do love you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing one verse of 160.